No surprise that the legal market for marijuana is booming as more and more states decriminalize at least some forms of cannabis use. And it's big business, generating between $5 and $7 billion in annual revenue in the U.S. alone. Other countries are looking to cash in as well. That includes Jamaica. It used to spend millions each year to crack down on the drug, but lately the Jamaican government has been trying a different approach. It legalized medical marijuana and created a new licensing system for farmers. It allows them to legally grow cannabis for certain purposes, but as Sally Herships reports, some small pot farmers in Jamaica say they're being left behind.
Most of the time, farmers are proud of their crops, happy to talk about them. But ask a certain kind of farmer what they grow.
Can you tell me about your farm, what you farm in the bush?
Yeah, I farm goats and cows and cabbage in the bush.
Anything else?
No, not.
Baxter, I'm not using his real name to protect his identity, is laughing because one of his biggest crops is marijuana. He wears black plastic sunglasses and cargo shorts torn off below the knee. We're standing in the center of a small rural town on the edge of a bustling street.
Yo, my boss.
Where we are, in Jamaica, growing pot for recreational use is illegal.
I thought it was a big business in Jamaica, though.
Yeah, man, a big business, a big illegal business.
So Baxter's farm is hidden. It has to be. To find it, you have to head deep into the countryside, then a hike through sugarcane on a dirt path. Finally, around a corner, a rocky field covered with knee-high marijuana plants. At night, Baxter sleeps in the open, under a lean-to. He says years ago, his farm was discovered, spotted by government workers from the sky.
A big green helicopter. Let's go like this, blah, 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 with a white guy in it, you know?
His entire crop was destroyed.
They cut all of it and burn it.
Baxter waited till the weather was cool enough, and then he planted his fields again. Someone always has to be on the lookout for government helicopters, but that could change. The Jamaican government has started offering licenses to farmers like him.
Would you get a license? Is it easy to get a license?
No, it's not easy. Lots of money to get a license.
Like how much?
Lots of $1,000.
Just to apply costs $300. The licenses themselves can run thousands an acre. Then there are processing fees, transportation fees, and more. Kim Ford is also a local farmer. Her parents sent her to school in the U.S., but now she's back and a member of her local hemp and ganja growers association. She says all these requirements have her worried about wealthy foreigners.
They make more money, and then they come here and can pay for licensing, build a whole building, buy a piece of land to put it on, and can move forward.
China has invested hundreds of millions in Jamaica in bauxite mining and sugarcane. Then there are other foreign investors like Canada and the UK, owners of the hotels lining Jamaica's famous white beaches. Ford says she hopes the same thing doesn't happen with cannabis. Wealthy business people with foreign passports coming in and taking over once again.
It's a constant taking away from a country.
Another problem, the United States.
Jamaica would never have made cannabis illegal, but for the influence of the United States.
Charles Nesson is a Harvard Law professor with a lifelong interest in Jamaica. According to the State Department, Jamaica is the largest Caribbean supplier of illegal pot to the U.S. The federal government doesn't want more coming in. But Nesson says keeping pot illegal in Jamaica means problems for small farmers like Baxter.
Criminalize something that is widely used by poor people. That leaves discretion in the police as to who they want to arrest.
There are billions of dollars at stake and a whole list of problems, like newly legal growers in Colorado who don't want more competition. But there's also cultural pushback right here in Jamaica. The stereotype that all Jamaicans smoke weed is just that, a stereotype. Jamaican culture is traditional, even conservative, and pot is not always okay. Nesson tells a story about an event for ganja farmers where local Jamaican dignitaries were giving speeches.
But they would start out by saying, well, I don't smoke ganja myself, but I'm totally in support. My wife, Fern, she gave me an elbow and said, tell him you smoke ganja. And so when I started off, I said, I just want to say I do smoke ganja. And the whole place erupted with applause.
Traditionally, it's Jamaica's Rastafarians who have embraced cannabis for spiritual reasons. And the push to legalize ganja has made things better for them. Police are no longer allowed to arrest anyone carrying less than 2 ounces. Ross Ayavi is a Rastafari elder.
I want to see economic benefits coming from the ganja industry, coming back to the community.
But educating sustenance farmers about government regulations is difficult. Ayavi is also on the board of the Cannabis Licensing Authority. He says they've been holding community meetings, but often farmers don't show up.
If people are paying attention to what is going on, then some of these fears would be alleviated.
The licensing board says it's aware of the concerns. It'll waive fees for small farmers until the end of 1 year after their crops are sold. It's also working on a pilot project to let farmers share costs, but that doesn't mean all that much to farmers like Baxter. He's not planning to apply for a license, but he is planning to keep farming. For The World, Sally Herships, Jamaica.